I was a teenager, it was playing the first time I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that song, even though now it kind of seems like a hymn, it's very powerful, and it just shows us anything we sing, anything we say, obviously, to God is powerful. He's listening. We're continuing our series on prayer, and not just prayer, but finding our success in prayer. And I wanted to start off, if Bev Connor could come up, with kind of a follow-up of last week. Last week we talked about three things that would, come on up, three things that would make us successful in prayer. One of them, praying in the Spirit. The other one, praying Scripture. And then the third one, laying it out before the Lord as King Hezekiah did. We talked about King Hezekiah last week. Bev Connor has a really powerful testimony, exhortation, explanation, whatever you want to say, about praying in the Spirit and how it affected her life. So I really wanted her to share this morning. Give it up for Bev Connor.
Praise God. Here he is. I love what the pastor has been teaching on for actually some months now, and he's just been building and building and building, and talking about spiritual gifts, walking in the Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit, prayer. It's just been such awesome, good stuff. And I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony. Actually, it's probably going to be more than he thought I might, but I have to lay a foundation. Don't we need a foundation? First of all, I was unchurched. Unchurched. I did not grow up in a church. I always said, now my parents had what I always say was a 25-pound Scofield Bible laying on the coffee table. Some of you may be old enough, and you had one of those too. And we never opened it. We never opened it. It just sat there. No one told me about Jesus. We never talked about Jesus. At Christmas, we celebrated Santa Claus, and it was a big deal to us. I come from a large family, and everybody always gathered at my mom and dad's house and would bring their presents on the front porch, and Santa would come in and, you know, bring it, haul in the bags, and we just celebrated, and we drank and partied. That's what we did. I come from a musical background. I don't seem to have any of that, but we would play. My dad, he was great at everything, fiddle, guitar, harmonica. He did it all, and so did my cousins. Anyway, but that was what our Christmas was like. Easter was all about the Easter Bunny, and I was absolutely positive that one Easter, I saw his footprint outside my bedroom. And I told my mom, I saw his footprint. I saw his footprint. Mom's going, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Well, you told me there's an Easter Bunny. I saw it. Anyway, or saw his footprint. So that's how I grew up. It wasn't until, I got to follow my outline or I'll get off. I have three church stories. Have I told those last time I stood up here? No. A lot of you know them. I have three church stories. One is when I was in the seventh grade and my girlfriend went to church with her mother on a Sunday. She called me when she got home and she said, I want you to go to church with me today or tonight. And I said, okay. To me, it was just time to get out of the house. So I said yes. Two other friends she called said yes. And she said, I got saved this morning. Well, I didn't have a clue what that was, didn't know what it meant, didn't ask. So we went into this church, and it was a very small church. Honestly, the sanctuary was about half the size of this right up here. And so they started playing the music and singing, and the next thing I knew, everybody, it seemed like, was raising their hands and shouting and speaking in this language that I never heard. Everyone was. And a guy in the neighborhood, who we thought was really cool, young guy, I didn't know he went to church, and he started literally rolling across the floor in the front of the sanctuary. And I'm standing around all these people that are speaking in this other language, which I haven't a clue what's going on, and raising their hands, and I am scared to death. Just get me out of here. I don't want to be in this place. Second Bible story, or church story, now I'm in high school, and my cousin asked me to go with her to a church across town. I know now we're having revival again. That word means nothing to me. I know no Bible church terminology. So she just says, let's go to church. And I'm going, whoa, okay. Well, at least it's not that other church. So we go across town. At the end of the service, now this is hindsight because at the time I have no idea what's going on. And the pastor, I'm sure, gave an altar call. And I think he probably said something like, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart and you want to do it today, raise your hand. And I'm telling you, I was such a rebellious liar. I loved to lie. I loved to lie about nothing just to get to see if I could get you to believe the lie. I thought it was just such a challenge, and I loved it. I said, this had to be the first time in my life I ever told the truth. I raised my hand. And at that moment, we were sitting at the end. I was sitting at the end of the thing here, pew. And this guy come around, scooted me over, sat down next to me. And the next thing, true story, this guy from behind us pushed my cousin over, threw his leg over the pew, and sat down on this side of me. And they started talking to me, and I am freaking out. I have no idea what's going on. I haven't a clue what they said. All I'm is like, let me out of here. And I kept saying it to them. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Now, the third church experience is on Christmas Eve. I'm out of school. I've dropped out of college, working. And my cousin, who's 6 months older than I am, we're like brothers and sisters. So we've been drinking all day long. And we're partying. It's coming Christmas Eve. The rest of the family hasn't got there. I call them the clan because literally it was that many family members. And I was drunk. And I said, this is my imitation of drunk. We need to go to church. And he said, what? I said, we need to go to church. And he said, why would we do that? I said, well, you know, I think there's some people that do that on Christmas. We need to go to church. Well, he was just drunk enough. He said, okay. So we got in the car, and we're only 2/10 from the church, from this little church in our little town, small little town, village. So we went in, and we're in there, and I'm looking around. Can you hear me back there? Because I want to whisper. We're looking around. And it's so quiet in there. I mean, it's quiet. And I'm thinking to myself, why are these people here? I mean, remember my other two experiences. Why are these people here? That's how it went. Never did get exciting. So we left that place. That's my three church experiences. Now, later on, always moving down, I started to want to know, though, every time I drive by a church, I'd go, I wonder what that church is like. I wonder what that church is like. Never would go to one, but wondered what they were like. One day I went, you know, I think I want to get a Bible. And I'm just 5 minutes from Amish country. I'm from Ohio. And that time, a lot of Amish in that area. And so I drove out there. I said, they got to have a place to get a Bible. I know they're religious. And so I went out there, and sure enough, little store, and I bought a Bible. And it was a Living Bible. And I brought it home, and I opened it up and started to read it like a book. And from the beginning, and I got in there in Genesis and wherever. And then I saw where God was killing people. Started killing all these people. And I shut that, and I said, I don't want to read that. So I put it away, packed it up, didn't read it for a long time. Come to Florida, fast forward, losing my job, relationship went bad, come to Florida, and I am at the bottom of my barrel. You know, we all have one. Everybody's is in a different place. And I'm at the bottom of my barrel. My parents had moved here 2 years earlier, so I'm living with them, and my dad just was so thrilled. I'm kidding, of course. So anyway, I'm out in the backyard one day, and I'm lost. And I'm sitting out there by myself, and I look down on the ground, and I saw these ants crawling around, and they're just carrying little pieces of something back and forth, back and forth. And I said to myself, I feel like that ant. I just feel like that ant. What is life about? Is this the same old day in, day out? Same old thing. And I looked up in the sky and I said, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Because I don't even know if you're there. And no, nothing happened at that moment except I went in and I thought, you know, I'm going to dig that Bible out. So I went through whatever I had packed up and brought that Bible out. And I knew I didn't want to go to the front of it. I didn't want to read. There's a bunch of dead people up there, so I wasn't going there. So I just did the thing that God does for us many times. I just opened it up, and it fell open. Now listen, I know nothing. I know nothing about New Testament, Old Testament. I don't know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he was born of a virgin. I don't know anything. And it opens up to the book of Matthew. And so I don't remember if it was right at the first page, but, you know, somebody that reads books, you're going to go back to the first page there anyway. So I started reading in the book of Matthew chapter 1. And as I started reading, God began to reveal himself to me, who he was, reading in the book of Matthew. And our pastor said he's going to be teaching on Matthew pretty soon. I got so excited. He didn't even know this part of my story. Matthew, when I work with people, new people, and sit down and we do Bible study, book of Matthew. Had a friend last week ask me who teaches, and well, I'll tell you who it was Rebecca. And she said, why, I'm just curious, why do you always go to the book of Matthew? I said, because that's where God took me. She said, instead of John. Now, yeah, well, John's a nice guy, but Jesus took me to Matthew. That's where we're going. So anyway, that's what I do. I thread through as I begin to see. I get goosebumps. Who he was. Oh my goodness. The Holy Spirit had opened my eyes like I had never seen before. And as I continued to read, and again, continued to read and go through the next, I would ask him. First of all, I didn't even know he was talking to me. That's another story. But finally, I figured it out. And I'm like, ooh, where do you want me to go now? And so he takes me to the next book. And it was just going straight through the Gospels into the book of Acts. Now, after I found out who he was, then God showed me who I was. You know, what he showed me was what a sinner I was. It wasn't I was this wonderful person. You know, sins that I didn't even know that I was sinning. I didn't know those things were sin. And he showed me how I needed Jesus. Now, remember, I'm still unchurched. I'm not in a church. There's only one person talking to me. And that's the Holy Spirit. Nobody else. For a whole year, I am in that Bible. And I begin to learn how to pray. And that was just get on my knees and be real. Because God's just opening up my heart. We're having this awesome conversations every day. Anyway, that's another story. A little fast forward. Get into the book of Acts, and I am a wild woman. I am so hungry for God, and all I can see in the book of Acts, because God's leading me now, remember, I have no one else. And he keeps taking me to these terminologies, baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles. Every time I would see miracles, I would see baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Now, I said, God, Here's a key thing. That wasn't important to me. What's important to me is I want everything He has. I want to know him. That's where my heart was. It wasn't about, I want to speak in tongues, or I want to do this or that. God, I want to know you. Wow, wow. And so with that, I remember I'm unchurched. I don't know people have problems with people speaking in tongues. I don't know nothing. So I'm a babe in the Lord, and I go to the grocery store wherever I am, and I go to people. And I was sure God lived in Florida, by the way. I was 32 years in Ohio. No one ever talked to me about Jesus. Came to Florida, and you'd say, are you a Christian? Everybody said yes. Not one single person said no to me, and I asked everybody I met. I'm like, God lives in Florida. I believed it. Innocent little child heart. I believed he lived here, and that's why he moved me here. I just knew it. Well, the second question I would ask him, no matter where I was, standing in the grocery line, whatever it was, after, are you a Christian? And I'm all excited because I know they're going to say yes. And they said yes, and my next question was, do you speak in tongues? Now, God put me in some kind of a bubble because I know better now, 37 years later, when you ask somebody that, they start doing this. But I never saw any of that, none of it. I just went to the next person. Are you a Christian? Do you speak in tongues? You speak in tongues? True story. Everywhere I went to my pastor. Oh, now it's a year later, and I have started going to a little Methodist church. And I went to him, and of course I said, well, I didn't ask him if he was a Christian. Kind of wondered later on, but... But I said, do you speak in tongues? And he's a sweet guy. And he goes, well, no. He said, somebody prayed for me once, but nothing happened. So I just moved on to the next person. You speak in tongues. And one day, Buddy Walker and his family had just come back from Guatemala. And we had met them working at the gas station here in Umatilla. And he came to a Bible study. The one guy in the church that was radically saved every Sunday. He'd say, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. And he had come out from he really was born again. He invited him to our Bible study. And anyway, when they walked in that night, there was this glow around them. Just a glow. I said, God, they got to know something. They're glowing. I had never seen anybody glow before. Well, I could hardly stand it till their Bible study was over. And I made my way right over to them. And in my normal childlike voice, I said, do you speak in tongues? Well, Buddy never answered me. And his wife looked around the room, said, yes. And I said, praise God, tell me everything you know. I gotta know. From that point on, we made an appointment to get together. And short story, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with language, prayer language. Now, I'm on my knees. Every day I would spend at least 2 hours on my knees praying. Not because I had to. I couldn't wait to get there. And I would be in there on my knees, and I'm praying in this prayer language. You know, it started out with a couple of words, and it grew and grew and grew. And I'm just praying and praying and praying in the Spirit. And then after a while, always had a couple hours in there. Again, just turned out that way. And the next thing I know, I'd be praying in English. Now, I know Scripture, but never made any connection until one day. I mean, wait a minute. My prayers always got answered. True story. It's a true story. I thought God answered everybody's prayers. That's what I believed. I'm a newbie. And it's happening to me, so it's got to be the way it is. One day, a pastor's wife called me. And she said, how do you pray? How do you pray? God always answers your prayers. Now, she said that because they were part of the prayer life I was in. So they knew when I was praying with something, it was going to get answered. Because it just had been that way. So here is a Christian that's been in the Lord a long time, asking me, how do you pray? And it took me by surprise. And I thought for a few minutes, seconds probably, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I pray in the Spirit a lot. And I'd pray just driving down the road wherever I was. And she said, well, I don't know how you're praying, but your prayers always get answered. Would you mind if I gave some folks your phone number? And would you pray for them? I'm like, well, sure, okay. And I'm just bewildered. So hung up the phone, went to my favorite place in my room, down on my knees, and I said, God, I don't understand. And by the way, I say that a lot today. I don't understand. And the Lord opened up the ceiling. I'd never done this before. He opened up the ceiling, and I always go like this to the right just a little bit because that's how it happened. And a shaft of light came out of the ceiling right down on me. And the Lord said this to me. When you pray in the Spirit, in tongues, that is a language that I gave to you. It is you and nobody else between me and you. It is your Spirit and my Holy Spirit communicating with you. Here's the good part. The devil cannot penetrate that. He understands English for sure. But this private prayer language, he cannot understand and penetrate. You see, then it all started to click. The scriptures that I knew, I never remember where anything is, but I have it written on my heart. And the scripture came to mind, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. And I went, oh, my goodness, that's what's been happening to me. And I didn't even know. Here I am praying in tongues in this awesome prayer language that God has given to me. And it's the answers coming back in English. And that's why I'm praying that prayer in English. And that's God's perfect will. That's why that prayer was getting answered. Wow. And then the scripture about that says, ye know not how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for you. I knew that scripture, but I never understood these things. It didn't make sense to me. Well, what does that mean, pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding? I don't get it. And, you know, it's interesting when we don't get it, how we rationalize things. You know, I go, well, you know, I'm led by the Spirit, so I'm praying. No, that's not what it means. There's two different things going on here. I'm almost done, Sean. I want to pray for you guys today because, and I want to tell you something. I only speak what I know is truth. All my days, I ask God, show me truth. Show me truth, Lord. I don't want to be deceived. I want to know truth. And I want to tell you something else. The Lord showed me the reasons that people hold back, you know, from the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this gift of tongues. Now, we're not talking about the one where you give a message in church. That's a separate gifting. That's not the one we're talking about here. This is a prayer language for every born-again believer that God wants us to have. Now, why? Why would the enemy fight so hard to keep that from happening? Because it's the intimacy with Him, that intimacy with God. He does not want us to have. And when we do, He cannot interfere with that. The reasons I've asked the Lord, well, remember, I came from nowhere. No, excuse me for the terminology I'm going to use, but no church baggage to get rid of. I didn't have any of that teaching. Fear, number one. Fear. Human nature is fear. It keeps us. We're afraid of the unknown. We are. We're afraid. That's just natural human nature. Now, does the enemy use fear? Of course. and he'll use it in every way. I won't even go into all those, but he uses fear. It's a main thing to keep us back, hold us back. Doubt and the lies that some of you may have been told over the years, that it's not from God. If God wants, I hear this all the time, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Well, okay. The truth is you limited yourself. Seek God with our whole heart. Seek God not for what he can give you, but for who he is. For who he is, to know him more. That's what this is about. You know, I don't like playing church. I'm not good at it. And sometimes people don't like me for that. But I'm just not good at that. So this morning, I want to pray with you. I know what Pastor's going to do here, but this morning I just felt very led. So you don't have to open your eyes. I just want you to open your hearts. Open your hearts right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that you reveal yourself to us. You want us to know you. You want us to know you. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning. I pray that you open every heart this morning. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command the enemy to loosen God's people in the name of Jesus. And where there is fear, we speak trust in the name of Jesus. Where there's doubt, we speak belief in the name of Jesus. And where there are lies, we speak truth in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Fill your people with your spirit, God. Fill us, Father. Fill us, Lord, that we're so hungry for you. We just want to know you. Not what you can provide, but who you are. I want to know you. I want to love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Ev, I want you to No. Where you at? We're going to take a turn here because I think what she talked about was very important. Talked about it last week. From a scriptural standpoint, if you feel like you need to have more scripture to back what she was saying, you could listen to last week's message on our website. I wanted to say this about prayer language. Again, we see in all of our English Bibles it says tongue. And as we talked about last week, it's probably better translated for us that we can understand language. It's a prayer language. And I feel like the Lord gave me last week after the message, and it was like, thanks, God, that you gave it to me afterwards. But maybe it was for this week. An analogy, if you will. I believe that, just as we talked about, there's two functions of gifts, a personal prayer language of speaking in tongues or that prayer language. And then there's also the corporate or public manifestation of that, which is in fact a manifestation. It comes forth and then there needs to be an interpretation. And as I said, that kind of morphs or turns into prophecy. But just as there's two, I think that we lump the gift of tongues or the gift of speaking in the Spirit as a gift, but in fact, it may be a gift and a grace. Just as faith is a gift and a grace. Let me explain. We all have faith in Christ, hopefully, if you're sitting here. If you're not, we'd love to pray with you afterwards to receive Christ Jesus. We all have faith. You have to have faith. We receive his salvation through faith, by his grace, not by our works, lest any man boast. But our condition, if you will, condition is, we must have faith. Faith are the hands that stick out to receive the free gift. We all understand that, right? That is available to everybody, and that's a grace. In other words, we didn't earn it. We were given it free of charge, a faith in Christ Jesus. Likewise, I believe it is available to all of us, and I realize there's some that don't believe that, but I think you're looking at it as a gift. It's a grace of speaking in tongues. It's, I believe, available to every Christian. A prayer language, a language that causes this incredible intimacy between you and God. Now, let me say this. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I grew up that pretty much if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't in the club, or somehow you weren't saved, and that cannot be further from the truth. It's not true. You can have a relationship with God. However, I think you can have like an extra cool, special, nice, even deeper relationship with God with this prayer language. So again, if you understand, this praying in the Spirit can be a grace and it can be a gift. Just as in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about a gift of faith. This gift of faith enables you to move mountains, enables you to do miraculous things such as raise the dead. That's a gift, but we all have the grace of faith. Does that make sense? For me, simple is better, and I'm just a simple guy. And I know that most of us are here too. So without further ado, I don't want to talk anymore. Could I have the worship team come up? Sure. In a microphone. Where'd it go? Here we go.
Got to mention one thing. Years later, I'm talking years. Now I've been walking with the Lord now for 37 years. Almost 38. And this, what I share with you today, I've shared many times. And just a few years back, I can't tell you exactly how many it was. It wasn't many. I'd come a long way. And I'm sharing just like I was today. And right in the middle of it, God opened my eyes to something. Do you realize that first church experience I had, where they were speaking in tongues, rolling in the aisles, God had blocked my memory. And it wasn't until, I'm going to say, 10 years ago, I'm sharing this, and right in the middle of it all, I went, oh, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Because, see, had I remembered that experience, I would have not been seeking him with my whole heart because of fear. Fear.
That's good. Can I have the worship team come up, please? We're going to worship together, and there's always this place in me. Can I continue to just be real with you guys? Is that cool? So you've heard my story before. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I'll make it quick. Yeah, you guys need the microphone. And I was introduced to somebody speaking in tongues, and my sister was 3 years older than me, and I was like in kindergarten or first grade. And you know that sound you make when you're trying not to laugh? Because it's impolite to laugh, and you go, that's what we were doing in the back row because we had no clue what these crazy people were doing. Everybody was speaking in tongues. In my opinion, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that church, but I think there were some things that were done out of order. There were some things that, like she said, rolling in the aisle. I didn't experience it at that church, but I experienced it in revivals and things like that. It can really put you off. And for a long time, I was put off. In Luke 11, it says, if you ask your father for bread, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you something that's going to make you look foolish or be foolish. He wants to gift this to us. Again, in the context of Luke chapter 11, it was answering the disciples' plea of, please teach us to pray. And he said, really what you need is more of the Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need to ask for the Spirit. So they're going to go ahead and play. Guys, go ahead and play. We just want to pray, Bev and I, for you. We're not going to pressure you. One of the other things I was going to say is I've heard people pressure and say banana backwards and just stuff like that. I mean, I think with a pure heart and a desire to see you receive it, but there's no manipulation. We don't want to manipulate you. We don't want to push you down. We don't want any of that. We just want to pray with you if you want to receive your prayer language. And it's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. And it's an intimate way to relate with them. What I was going to talk about this week, we'll talk about next week. So come on, if you want to pray, please.